G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Ah, thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, hello, good morning, Rudy. Now, did you survive yesterday? We went out with the vegans, didn't we?
I did, yeah. No, I didn't throw up or get sick or have to call in with the doctors or anything on the way home.
Anyway, we've recorded it. Rue and I went out yesterday and had lunch at a vegan restaurant and met a couple of very nice ladies. Lee, who we spoke to on air the other day, and her friend Rebecca.
Yep.
And they ordered us a big, big meal. Gee, we had that much food, didn't we?
Yeah, and you didn't eat a bloody thing.
I had one mouthful, that's right, yeah.
You were a fish out of water.
Anyway, we'll get to that a bit later on. What else is coming up, Roo?
Cocaine Cassie's got her sentence, so yeah. 6 years, a bit of parole, and she'll be out in how long? 18 months.
Good behaviour, yeah. She could be home soon.
The Angels are on today. Gleeso's going to join us. Peter Helly is going to join us. We've got a big, big day coming up.
It's action packed, isn't
it? Sure is, sure is.
Now, you can't smell, can you? Why is that?
Well, I've just always been like that. I only broke my nose once and from Glen Archer, but I've just never had good. Ability to smell.
Because you couldn't actually smell the food we were eating yesterday, could you?
No, not at all.
I think it was a big bonus. You're in front.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good bonus when you're changing nappies too, Dits.
Yeah, I would have thought. What are the other good things about not being able to smell? Probably working with me. You can't smell me every
morning.
That's
right. It's my job to cut up the bait when I go yabbing or crabbing.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
Whereas other people are throwing up and they can't believe I'm doing it.
Oh, no. There are advantages.
Sure, what are the disadvantages? Tell me the greatest thing about being able to smell.
Smelling your wife's perfume.
Is that great, is it?
Oh, yeah, I think
great
so.
Great to make out it is.
No, well, you smell your wife when she's out of the shower, she's put her best perfume on and smelling lovely. I don't know, that's one advantage I can think of.
Is there anything else?
Smell the roses. No, but even food, though. Like,
I know.
Food that smells incredible and you think, oh, I can't wait to tuck into this.
Yep.
And you just can't smell it.
No, not really.
It's amazing.
It has to be really strong for me to get anything.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like farts. Your worst fart. It'd have to be real bad.
Which, by the way, listeners, I don't do.
Do in here.
No, I don't. I've never, ever done
see
that.
See something.
I'm
you
respectful.
Lift up one side of your body.
Do not. We've got Alana the button pusher sitting here.
I wouldn't smell it.
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't
do that.
Anyway, let's
only
move
during
on.
The ad breaks. Anyway, right. 607 Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
612 Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Making news around the place. Now, you mentioned cocaine. And Cassie Rhee. We're going to cross to Bogota later on this morning. So she's fronted court already.
Yep.
I reckon it's a pretty good deal that she's got. She was facing 21 years.
Yeah, absolutely. 6 years is not the end of the world. And she should be able to hopefully get out for herself in about maybe 3 years or something like that if she's being able to study and do the right thing. Apparently that gives you some credits to be able to get out early. So stop telling lies would be a good start.
That might help.
But 3 years, they're saying she should be able to get out.
Now, you remember she did an interview on 60 Minutes on Channel 9. I just want to jog your memory here.
There is evidence.
Hard evidence?
Yes.
The photos that you talked
yes.
about on WhatsApp?
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that you've forgotten the password?
It's very true. I haven't used it for nearly 6 months. I'm not going to remember a pattern.
I don't know another millennial who has forgotten their password.
Well, I'm sure if you were in prison for 5 months, you would forget it.
What I learnt from Cassie there are levels of truth. You can be a little bit truthful, maybe some truthful, or very truthful. All right, so she was being very truthful.
We've probably all had levels of truth before, Dits, haven't we?
Hang on, truth is truth, isn't it, or not?
Well, in front of a court it would be, I would have thought.
Yeah. But I'm just surprised that in this day and age, you know, so many criminals, you've seen this on TV when they've been caught doing something, and here are all the text messages they sent to each other. Like, cops can actually get into these phones, can't they?
Oh, you would have thought it's a no-brainer for the
or here are the phone records
to be able to do it.
Yeah, that's the surprising thing. But the fact that she's...
That was a social media one, wasn't it? Was it WhatsApp or something? It wasn't just your normal text message. Yeah. So I think that may be slightly different.
You'd have to be able to trace it, sure. You'd go to the app company, wouldn't you?
But I don't know if they always...
Cooperate's
the right word.
In this case, you'd have to. A girl is facing 21 to 30 years behind bars. You'd have to.
Yeah, but aren't they hitting Facebook up and all these mobs now for terrorist activity and stuff, and they're not all keen on helping out all the time?
Yeah, I suppose. I agree with her, though. I mean, do you know all of you? I was just saying to you in the break, every time I have to order something on Apple, I go, I can't remember the bloody password. I get a new one sent to me every single time.
Useless. And you're supposed to have different ones for security and that. And, I struggle to do one. I'm with you.
Well, right now, if I can think about this, I've got a password here at work to get into the computer.
I wouldn't know that.
I've got two different email addresses at home for business, so they're different passwords. Then you get a message every now and then to change them. So you've got to keep updating those. I've got different ones for my bank accounts, different one for my phone, different one for... betting accounts, different ones for... No, but when you add them up, there are plenty and they're all different.
Yeah.
And then,
perhaps you should make them all the same except for the important one, maybe.
And then you go to download an app and Apple says, what's your password? I don't know. Mm. So you get a new one sent.
8 tries later, you can't get through.
Yeah. All right, what else is making news, Ruth?
We've got a new new suburb going to happen in Adelaide, 34 k's north of Adelaide, I think it is. A place, it's going to be called Ayre. It's already got
Ayre.
Five. Ayre.
How do you spell Ayre?
Eyre.
Oh, that is.
It's in,
okay.
Ayre Peninsula. 550 residents at the moment. So there's already a few people out there. I don't know what they were living in before. Maybe they've rechanged or redone the boundaries, but there's going to be 2,000 homes out there. So, go and live
in
Ayre.
Could have come up with a new name. We've already got Ayre Peninsula.
That's right.
Can I be a bit creative here? You know, when you have something like, what can I think of? You can have, what's a suburb? I'm thinking Elizabeth, right? Yeah. You have Elizabeth South, Elizabeth North,
Elizabeth East.
You West. Could have, instead of just going air, north, south, you could go fresh air, clean air.
Oh, no.
Why not?
What
just
are you
be
talking
a bit,
about?
Be a bit creative. Come on.
Air guns.
Bear with me. Go with me on this. Hey, the other thing.
The Pope?
The other thing making news around the world, you know, there are billions of Catholics in the world, okay? It's still the, it's not the biggest religion, of course. You've got the. Hindus and Buddhas, they'd be bigger. But in the Western world, the biggest religion still is Roman Catholic. The Pope's admitted to all the Catholics now that he nods off during prayer. Hallelujah. Can I just say thank you? Because I did every Sunday.
Yeah.
I got dragged along by the ear by my old man. You reckon I wasn't dozing off, especially when I got old enough to be a bit hungover as well, and you're still getting me out of bed saying, come on.
What?
Yeah.
What age did you stop going to church?
18 we had to stop. Oh, not had to. We were allowed to make our own choice at 18. You know, I was hopping into the booze a bit young sometimes, you know, after a game of footy or something. And boy, did I sleep on those Sundays. Bloody hell.
You would have snored too.
Gee. Yeah, oh yeah. But the Pope reckons he does. I'm glad about that.
Oh, good on him. He's human.
All right. That's what's making news around the place. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Ruined It's for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Anything un-Australian from now on, we'll name and shame, all right?
This is a blatant violation of the Constitution. You come from a land
down under. Christina Matthews demanded that we change the vernacular in cricket. She doesn't want us to say batsman, fieldsman, night watchman, third man, and it goes on and on and on.
Oh, the man one.
It's Mabo, it's justice.
Our Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has approved the change to Advance Australia Fair. It used to be for we are young and free, but it will now be in peace and harmony.
Vegan sausages at Bunnings, un-Australian.
Cadbury and other chocolate manufacturers have banned the use of the word Easter on the packaging of their products in order to stop offending other religions.
This is an outrage.
Bullshit.
This is you. Kindergartens, Roo, banning Bar Bar Black Sheep.
I'd never even thought of it being as racist
overtones.
Yeah.
Political correctness has finally now it's reached boiling point, and I've had enough.
And now to this week's reason why the world's gone mad.
Okay, Roo, what have you got for us? Un-Australian.
We've just heard a few there which bring back a few memories, but they're now thinking about or wanting to ban Dr. Seuss books.
Why?
It's because they're racist, apparently.
Racist?
Yeah. Now, I read these books quite regularly to my kids, and I've never once thought, oh, gee, I shouldn't have said that. You know, Cat in the Hat and Sam I Am and Green Eggs and Ham and all this sort of stuff that you read out.
Yeah.
The kids love it. You know how many books they've sold?
How many?
Jimmy Barnes thinks he's doing all right, printing 160,000.
Yeah.
600 million.
Oh,
600 million.
What, do we need a recall on them? You've got to bring them back.
Yeah, that'd be a logistical nightmare, wouldn't it, if you could pull
that
off.
Ridiculous.
Hand in your books.
Yeah.
Bring in your
doctor. How is Dr. Seuss racist?
I don't know. I haven't even tried to look. But if I, at the age of 42, can read the books and not think they're racist, I'm not sure a three-year-old will pick it up.
No, probably not.
In a heartbeat. Anyway, that's where they're heading. Dr. Seuss is... apparently racist.
Yeah, all right, ridiculous. I've got a couple for you this morning. Daniel Hughes, have you heard of him?
No.
No, I never have either. I just want to appeal to our Australian captain, Steve Smith, that Australia is not New South Wales, all right? So what do you know? We're building up to the first Ashes test, and Steve Smith, our Australian captain, says, I'll tell you what, Daniel Hughes is a test batsman in waiting. He should be playing for Australia. Now, you've never heard of him. No. I've never heard of him. What state do you reckon Daniel Hughes plays for?
New South Wales.
Oh, what a shock. This bloke averages 37.
Oh, come on.
And Steve Smith is pushing for him to play for Australia. Steve Smith, un-Australian.
You've got to earn your spot.
Bloody oath. This is ridiculous. Another New South Welshman.
You don't pick him on potential.
No, or because
side.
He plays for New South Wales.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That is.
The other un-Australian thing too, Roo, and this is big, do you know we've only got a couple of years left, if you've never done this, to climb Uluru. They're actually going to stop us climbing Ayers Rock.
I've seen this come out yesterday. This is on my bucket list of things to do as well.
You better hurry up.
Yeah, exactly right. But is there an exact reason? Is it because of the damage it's doing, or is it more because of the sacred sort of Indigenous stuff? Or a combination of both?
It might be because of the sacred stuff. Alana's been up there. Alana, what can you tell us?
It's basically because it's sacred.
Sacred.
Yeah.
Okay, not because of the erosion or damage.
That
or...
is a problem as well. But yeah. they don't like people climbing it. That's essentially the...
Is the whole rock sacred or just the path where you walk up?
The path is special from my understanding.
Right.
But the whole rock holds a pretty significant place. So, yeah, it's just they don't like it.
Yeah. All right.
And they probably always haven't, have they? Or they just got enough confidence to speak up these days? Or they just...
There's been a push over the last couple of years to stop people climbing it. They've been asking people not to, but...
What's it like, by the way? You've done it.
It's amazing. I did it when I was 16. We went there. We climbed it. It was incredible.
Yeah. How hard is it?
It's an okay slog up the top. I mean, you know. It's
a few Ks, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's quite steep in places. So you can understand why there's been a few accidents over the years.
Right.
But I won't lie, it's well worth doing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, they're not going to let us do it
for
much
longer. Are you calling
that
un-Australian, or are you just putting it in the bracket where
borderline,
you're not sure?
Borderline, because I need to know the ins and outs, and I don't want to offend our Indigenous people either. But I don't know. I still just have this belief that this land belongs to all of us. I'm sorry, but that's kind of my belief.
Yeah.
And I know that will upset the Indigenous people, but that's only my view.
Yep.
I think I'm allowed to have that view that I reckon we should be allowed to climb it. But they've got their reasons.
I'd like to know more about that because, that's a big thing, changing that. So let's take some calls, Dits, on un-Australian behaviour out there at the moment. Give us a call, 1-333-53. We've got a double to go and see Paul Kelly at the Entertainment Centre on Wednesday, November the 22nd. 1-333-53.
Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Triple M.
This is a blatant violation of the Constitution. Do you come from a land
down under? Okay, what is un-Australian, Roo? Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Hillbank. G'day, John.
G'day, gentlemen. How are we today?
Good,
yeah,
good thank on. You.
What's un-Australian?
Whiteboards and blackboards are no longer whiteboards and blackboards.
What are they?
Communication boards.
Oh, get out.
What, like a chalkboard's got to be black and a whiteboard with a text has got to be white, doesn't it? Is that what you're talking about?
Not allowed to call them by their colours anymore.
No, come on. Where's this happening?
John, that's not right.
I've got two customers that have labelled those boards as communication boards.
My God. I understand you can communicate on them, but one is white and one is black.
Not allowed to refer to them in that name.
All right. Thanks for the heads up, John. Be careful, Roo.
No, that is actually garbage. One is black and one
is
white.
That. I know that. But he's saying that out there, that's what they're calling them.
Communication boards.
Yeah.
Can I have a white communication board or
don't
a black?
Don't say that.
No, I'm not. That's not being stupid. That's Well, what if you want to write chalk on it?
Hang on. Well, tell me this then. If I walk into Officeworks today and I say I want a communication board, what's the next question they're going to ask me?
Do you want a white one or a black one?
That's right. There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. Right.
Now, let's go to Mick at Findon. G'day, Mick.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. What's Mick? Un-Australian, Mick?
Mate, in the words of Dennis DeNudo, it's a blatant violation of the Australian Constitution.
Yeah.
When kids at school have to call a Christmas tree now a festive bush.
Sorry, Nick.
I just snorted things. That's funny. That is funny.
Festive that bush. Hey, kids, what are we going to do this weekend? Let's decorate the festive bush.
Yes. And how funny would it be
when you said that?
Yeah, exactly.
How funny would it be when you'd have to go, oh, Mr. Johnson, I love your festive bush.
Oh, God.
Yeah, let's decorate the festive bush.
How big a bush are we going to get this year?
Oh,
we're going to get a real one
this
or a fake
ridiculous.
One this year?
This is ridiculous. All right, thanks for that, Mick.
Let's go to Kapunda. G'day, Josh.
How you going, boy?
Can you beat the festive bush?
No, that's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you got?
I think it's bullshit and very un-Australian that we let a crap holiday like Halloween overshadow the 100-year anniversary of the charge of the light horse on Beersheba.
Right. Explain to me what that is, because I'm not very good at history.
That's the light horse charge on Beersheba.
Yeah, so that's what Malcolm Turnbull's doing in Israel right now.
All right.
They're celebrating it.
Arguably the greatest charge of any infantry and the last great charge in war history.
Yeah. Right. Good on you, Josh. Very important
part
of it.
And you boys talked about Halloween. You did not mention that once. So it's un-Australian of you guys.
Yeah, well, that's true. See, I know nothing about it, Josh, and I'm happy to put my hand up there. I'm not good at history.
Watch the movie The Light Horseman and you understand it.
The Light Horseman.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Happy to be corrected at any stage. And it was in our news yesterday, but no, he's right. We didn't talk about it, and we did cover
Shame on you, Diz.
Halloween. Sorry about that. Righto. At Morford Vale. Good morning, Jackson.
Yeah, how you going, boys?
Good, Jackson.
Good,
what do you got for us?
Dunlop Volley. When I first started my apprenticeship, because we wear them to work, they were $12.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, they jumped up to about $20, and now they're $40.
What? That's a big increase. Why are they?
$40 for Dunlop Volley.
Is that because of popularity, or what's happening? Why are they going up so much?
I have no idea.
Are you an apprentice tennis player? What's your apprenticeship?
No.
Roofer.
Hey?
No, carpenter. Yeah.
Oh, they're safety
boots. Why don't you have to wear safety boots?
Yeah, we're probably meant to, but...
Un-Australian. Un-Australian, not wearing work boots on a work site.
Do you know roofers use them?
No, they're all right. Mate, Dunlop Volleys are the best work boots there is.
They reckon roofers use them. I've got a couple of roofing mates, Dits, that they use Dunlop Volleys. I reckon they got good grip.
Really?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
That's a big increase. Bloody hell. Put a nail gun through your Dunlop Volleys.
You can't wear them on the
no,
work site. Come on,
boss,
Jackson.
You
gee
need to
whiz.
Sort yourself out.
What happened to WorkSafe? And...
Let's send Josh from Kapunda, eh? He'd like to go and see Paul Kelly, I would have thought, Dits. You can go and see Paul Kelly Wednesday the 22nd of November at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre.
Yep.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruin Dids. $1,000 pressure test.
Righto, you're in charge today, Roo, to try and give away $1,000.
All right, let's go to Modbury. G'day, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, mate. What are you up to today?
Worked last night, so I'll probably about 9, I'll have a nap, and then I'll get up and go out to lunch, and then go back to work tonight.
What do you do during the night?
Cut trucks for a freight company.
Cool. Right, eh? Good stuff, mate. All right. To win $1,000, you're going to have to give me 10 correct answers in 30 seconds. Sean, you ready to go?
I am.
Give me 10 things that you put on a festive bush or a Christmas tree.
Lights.
Mm-hmm.
The bells.
Mm-hmm.
Little Santas.
Speed it up.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Reindeers. Tinsel.
Yep.
What else have we got?
Get creative.
The star, the
yep,
Christmas
yep.
star. Volleys, candy cane.
Oh!
Oh!
Time,
no.
time, 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 time.
Oh, no.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Come on. Come on.
Correct.
Oh, gee. No, you nearly got there, Sean. You come hard late.
Oh, gee. Good effort. Very good effort.
The festive bush, it's buried me.
Festive bush.
Did that cost you a second? Sorry about that.
Yeah, we're going to send you off to the Virgin Australian International Rules Series on November 12th. Sean, well done.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, good mate. Stuff. Couple well tickets done. To go to the footy
they
to see us.
They're going
to
get 40,000 there,
do they? Well, we've given away about 20,000. So that's off to see
like
Australia
game,
play
it?
Island. Shush. Hey, in a moment, we're going to head to Bogota. Cocaine Cassie's been in court this morning. We'll find out exactly what happened. Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my podcast one series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed, and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ru, let's head straight to Bogota. We know that South Australian Cassie Sainsbury appeared in court early hours this morning. Channel 7's correspondent Ashley Mullaney is there. Ashley, good morning. What happened in the courtroom with Cassie Sainsbury?
Good morning. Well, we had an outcome today. This court ordeal is over for Cassie. 6 years was the sentence. That's a plea deal that was negotiated between her lawyers and the prosecutors, and it had to be rubber stamped by a judge today, which happened pretty quickly. And it's a good outcome, really, for Cassie, given that she was facing potentially 30 years for trying to smuggle that 6 kilos of cocaine in her suitcase. The good news for Cassie, she could walk free even sooner than that, potentially 2.5 years with good behaviour behind bars, which would see her going back to Australia by April 2020.
So why did she go from 30 years to 6 years? What did she give up? What did she commit to or plead to that got her that heavy, heavy discount?
So the way the system works here, she was looking at potentially going to trial, and if found guilty at trial, that was the maximum sentence for the amount of drugs that she had in her possession at the time. This plea deal, though, has been struck between her lawyers and prosecutors, and it is a hefty discount, that's for sure. You know, especially if it comes down to 2.5 years. That happened because she admitted in part guilt. She admitted that the drugs were in her bag, but told the court that she'd been threatened. She'd been forced to carry those drugs because her life, her family's life had been threatened. So she has done well considering the circumstances. And, you know, we were talking about it this morning. If this had have been in somewhere like Indonesia or China, she could have been looking at a firing squad. So while 2.5 years in a prison like the one that she's in isn't great, given the circumstances, I think her legal team is quite relieved.
Ashley, would she have to prove that she actually was threatened? Does she actually need proof of that? Or if you're a criminal out there and wanted to take a punt, could you go to that part of the world, get 6 kilos of cocaine and try and get away with it and then just come up with a story like this and plead guilty and get 6 years?
You know what? It's a really, really good point because I don't actually think in the end she was able to produce any evidence that she was threatened. The prosecutor agrees that this mystery man, Angelo, who supplied the drugs and who she claims threatened her, they agree that he exists. But she said that the proof of those threats are in a WhatsApp message and that she hasn't been able to remember the code on her phone. So you're right. This is when it comes to sentencing, and this is, you know, across the globe, this is in Australia too, one of the biggest things that a judge will take into consideration is deterrence. How do you deter someone from doing this, carrying out the same crime? There has to be a level of deterrence. So that's the question, isn't it? Is 6 years in jail here enough of a deterrent to stop someone else doing it? I think if you were to ask Cassie, I'm sure she'd say yes. I'm sure if she could go back, she would choose not to get on a plane and come to Colombia. You know, we've heard various different stories about what led her here, and I think only Cassie will know the truth. Only Cassie will know exactly how this transpired and why she ended up coming here. But you know, if she was desperate for money, if she needed the number, the money, sometimes people do desperate things. But that was one of the remarks from the judges today, that let this be a warning to other young people who are considering doing something like this. Don't get involved in something like this. And he believes that she was used as bait in a major international drug syndicate, and perhaps there were several others who made it through unnoticed, unchecked with drugs, but she was the one that was picked out, or deliberately, you know, this tip off may have come through deliberately. So lots of variables, and like I say, I think only Cassie will know exactly where the truth lies on this.
Well, in the wash-up, I think she's a very lucky young lady. I really do. Ashley, this morning, what did you gauge from her health? Is she in good spirits under the circumstances? We know we saw pictures early on when she was behind bars laughing and smiling and waving to people outside. Is she still up and about? Is she chirpy? What did you sort of glean from it?
Yeah, so the judge locked us out of the courtroom today, but we saw Cassie going in and out of court. She was pretty stony-faced, as she has been throughout this whole the whole court experience. But like you say, she was pretty jovial when she was waving to us. And, you know, I almost feel like at the time when she, because she was waving at our cameras and smiling and whatever else, I almost wonder whether the gravity or the magnitude of this situation had hit her at that point. I think we're now 7 months in. She's been behind bars. This is her reality now, and she certainly didn't look happy today. I mean, she looked in good health, but she didn't look happy. And even though with that sentence discount, I mean, at her age of 22, you know, she's putting her life on hold. This is something that will stay with her. We've seen this happen with Chappelle Corby, where for the rest of her life, this will be something that taints her. And I'm sure she'll be looking forward to at some point putting it behind her. But she'll have a tough time. I mean, you're talking about a Colombian prison. It wouldn't be a nice place to be. And on top of that, she's copped a pretty hefty fine too, actually. It's almost $100,000.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
So I'm sure... Yeah, so I had to triple check that number because I just said, look, that seems like an extraordinary figure. So her legal team is now going to be fighting to say that she doesn't have the means to pay that much money. And it is an extraordinary amount of money. So, I'm sure that would be weighing heavily too.
Yeah. Ashley, thanks so much. Ashley Mullaney, Channel 7 correspondent over there in Bogota. You can see her report on 7 News tonight. Roo, in the wash-up, I think if she can get out in 2.5 years, she's a very lucky girl.
Absolutely she is. So hopefully it all goes well for her.
In a moment, Roo, you and I went to a vegan restaurant yesterday for lunch and report
wasn't
on
exactly
that.
Wasn't exactly on our bucket list of things to do.
No, I can certainly check it off now.
I had a good time.
I've ticked it. Yeah, you've just about converted. I'll tell you what happened yesterday was funny in the end. God, talk about eating out of the palm of their hands. Anyway, we will we'll get to this in just a moment. Our experience yesterday with the vegans.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, our next guest. I'm just looking at the publicity shot. He's had a makeover. He's had his hair combed. He's had his teeth whitened. He's ironed his shirt. Everything. Yeah. Brand new show tonight on Channel 10 at 7:30 called Cram. Peter Hellier, good morning.
Thanks, guys. When you host a TV show on Channel 10, they put you through what they call denification.
Denification.
I'm actually a few feet shorter as well. Fun times.
Is this your first game show, is it, Pete?
I did some kind of game show. It was more like a panel-y kind of, but a similar show on the ABC years ago called The Trophy Room, which went over summer. That was a lot of fun. But this is the big league, and I'm in the scene. In fact, one of the episodes, Grand Denya sits next to me, which is no pressure. First time really hosting one of these types of shows, and Grand Denya sitting next to you. It was tough, but I got through it.
So how does it work?
Yeah,
this
what's
show?
Cram all about?
It's the easiest quiz show in the world, guys, because we give you the answers before we ask you the questions. So it doesn't get any easier than that.
We did that in year 12.
That's what the back of the maths book was for, mate. There's all the answers right at the back. So on the show, we play you a graphic and, you know, all these facts come fast and furious and you just remember them. And that's really all it is. And
so it's a memory show.
It's a memory show. Everyone's got these memory apps on their phone and their iPad. Everyone's trying to improve their memory. This is like a TV version of that. It's great for families. If you love your Ninja Warriors and your Little Big Shots and have you been paying attention, you'll love Cram because everyone can get involved and yell at the TV and stuff. But would you like a little crash course? We can get a little a crash course. We can play a little bit of a cram if you like.
I've got a question.
Just before we start,
who are we interviewing again?
What's that?
Who are we interviewing?
Ditz has got an amazing memory.
He's a hot favourite, Roo, now all of a sudden.
No, Ditz has got an amazing memory, and mine is shocking. So Ditz is winks at the moment.
I do remember that game at Subiaco where you forgot to wear undies, Roo. So,
yeah, true.
Right, let's do it. What do we have to do? Okay, so I'm about to play you lots of fast facts. I've chosen the topic of sausages for you guys. Righto. I thought no relation to that Subiaco game.
No.
But lots of facts about to come your way. Just
remember, we got a buzzer here, though? Have we got buzzers?
We'll use your names. If you don't buzz in now, wait until you hear all the facts, and then I'll ask the questions
the
later.
Facts.
If you're in your car, if you're listening, try to remember as much as you can because your cram starts now.
Fire up the Barbie for sausages. 3, 2, 1, cram. Sausages are also known as bangers, wieners and snags. 1,300 students have graduated from the Weisswurst Sausage Academy in Germany. Longest sausage, 62.75 kilometres. Served on the world's biggest bun. Not really. Bonkers for bangers? Don't miss Berlin's Currywurst Sausage Museum. In 2016, 30% of Australian polling booths had a sausage sizzle. In 2017, Malcolm Turnbull was called un-Australian when he refused a sausage sizzle in Lismore. That's cram.
Wow. So these guys.
Right. God, my brain was working over. They're trying to store
I've
it
I've got
all.
A headache.
The answers were all there, so you have no excuses, guys. Right. Are you ready? Do you want to go to a song? Do you want to talk a bit more about different
There's
subjects?
There's a penalty for getting it wrong and hitting the buzzer too early, too, so don't try and do
righto.
That.
Yeah, if you answer wrong, you're out. Okay, let's go. Question number one. According to the cram, sausages are also known by what other names?
Yours, bangers, wieners, snags.
Nothing wrong with his memory.
Sorry.
Sausage lover.
He whizzed.
Sorry. Was that too quick?
That was good.
That was suspicious.
You're going to be hard to beat.
In which European city would you find the Currywurst Sausage Museum?
Ditz. Berlin.
Berlin. Roo, can you test your buzzer, mate? Yeah, okay, it's still working. It's still working. All right. Question number three. How long was the world's longest...
Oh, bloody hell.
Was it 62.7 kilometres?
62.75 kilometres. I'll give you that.
Oh, 75. I left off the five. Sorry.
I'll give you that.
I'll give you a go now, Roo.
Final question.
Oh, it's maybe one to go.
Maybe. Oh, I can ask a couple more if you want, but no, I can. Maybe just let Roo try to answer this.
Come on, Roo.
Oh, no.
In 2016, Roo, what percentage 30%. Of polling booths?
No. Ditz. Oh, you go first.
30%.
Ditz.
What's your answer, Ditz?
70.
Okay, this is the actual question. In 2016, what percentage of polling booths didn't have a sausage sizzle?
Roo,
you got it.
Did
it
I?
70%, 30% did have a sausage sizzle, which means 70% didn't have a sausage sizzle, even though you kind of got the answer wrong, Roo. You got it right.
Thank you.
There we go. That one was worth 10 points. Now, Roo came home with the win. He Bradburyed it.
He did Bradbury. Do you happen to remember, what are some of the other topics on the show tonight? What sort of fun are you going to have?
Oh, geez, tonight.
Well, who's on your panel
actually,
tonight?
Actually, I think sausage is one of the topics tonight. Yep. We've got Dr. Chris Brown on the show tonight. Nick Cody, comedian, taking the world by storm. The wonderful actress Miranda Tapsell. We have Frank Woodley and our team captain, Durok Jai Singer, who you would know from Have You Been Paying Attention, and the wonderful Virginia Gay from All Saints and Winners and Losers. They're our beautiful team captains, and it's a fun show, guys. I think you're going to love it.
Sounds like fun, and you're at the helm. It's bound to be fun. Pete Hellier tonight. It's Channel 10, 7:30. It's called Cram. Good on you, Pete.
Thanks, guys.
Well done, Pete.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
You remember on the weekend, Roo, we had Vegan Festival Adelaide.
I drove straight through it after getting off with a few mates, one of them being the biggest meat exporter in Australia. Mm. Drove straight through the vegan festival, which was a bit of...
That's a cat among the pigeons.
It was quite funny.
Anyway, we interviewed the lady that ran it. Her name was Lee, and this is what's happened on Monday. Can we have dinner with you one day, Lee, and you can educate us about what I could eat for, you know, a vegan meal?
I would love to take you out for dinner and educate you, yes.
All right, that'd be great. Roo, you and I, we're going to go and have dinner with Lee.
You are?
No, we all are. Anyway, so yesterday being World Vegan Day.
I wasn't keen at all, Ditch. You can tell there.
You and I went down and met with Lee and Rebecca. This is what happened.
Right, now, Lee, we met you on radio the other day. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
What's this place called?
It's Two Bit Villains.
And Rebecca, what's your story? What do you do?
So I'm one of the event coordinators as well for the festival, but I'm currently living in America.
You live in America?
Yeah, so I'm the international correspondent.
International?
You're an international vegan.
Yes.
Bloody hell. Buddy, we've got a plate full of grass. Can you believe it? Actually, the seat's made of grass as well. You can eat the seat.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Right, so now we're getting a jug of ice water. This is bloody... This is bullshit fair. So, grass and water. Are you serious?
You go first on the grass.
No, I don't want all of it. Honestly, you have
where
some.
Where I come from, I smoke it. I don't
you make money out of that, don't you? How long have you been a vegan for, Lee?
I haven't eaten meat in 26 years.
26 really? Years. Have you missed it?
Not at all.
What about when you first stopped? You must have missed it.
I felt good and clean, and I've had more energy than ever in my life.
Seriously. More energy?
Yes.
How does no meat give you more energy?
Because you don't feel weighed down by the heavy... Like, you know, you guys might eat a steak and you feel full and heavy. You will still feel full, but you have that lightness. It doesn't have that really... I don't know. That's what I can describe it as.
But you don't it's lack any natural. Nutrients or anything when you...
Absolutely not.
Not so, at all.
Well, you can lack in iron and B12, but I get quite happy when my meat-eating friends have low iron counts and mine's very high.
Your iron count is high.
It really
How
is,
do you do
yeah.
that?
Everyone knows that, oh, have a bit of steak and you'll get your iron from your steak, but where does your steak get its iron from?
It's being too clever.
Yeah, so exactly. Basically, we're cutting out the middle end and going straight to the source.
Right. Sorry. I've just seen two things. Something walked by, just looked like shit. I'm not kidding. That is... And
which one?
On the back of her shirt, it says, great f***ing soda. What sort of advertising is that?
Confident.
Honest, yeah.
Very confident people. Those tasty, vegan swear room. I'm not being funny. I don't like the smell of that. No, I don't. What is that?
Chili and fries.
Is that cheese on top? I thought you couldn't eat cheese.
It's a vegan cheese.
Vegan cheese. Yeah, you've given us a stubby holder. What can we put in that?
You get your cold beer in there, help it keep
so
cold.
So we can drink beer?
Yes. Beer,
cider. So vegans, wine? Vegans yes. like booze, do they?
Yes. All beer should be vegan.
Should be.
There's just some wines that are not.
Why isn't wine? Why isn't wine vegan?
It could be filtered through fish scales, egg whites.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Rue, you just hop into this. You hop into this food first, mate.
It's what kind of smell?
So what chips? Okay. What chips are they?
Potato
just
yeah.
Normal potato chips. Right, you eat chocolate?
Yes.
You do? Salt. No, not just normal chocolate then.
Define normal.
Cadbury's chocolate.
Yeah, they've got milk products in there.
Right.
So there are chocolate brands out there that are easy to get that don't have milk in them.
All the foods just come out. Can you please run through? Do you know what all these are?
What's that?
That's a mock chicken.
Mock yeah. chicken.
Mock us.
I'm not mocking you at all. I'm not mocking you.
No, it's got a great name. It's called Foul Play Burger.
Foul Play Burger.
Oh, so they're comedians as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah.
You like that?
Nothing wrong with that.
Soy lentil burger.
Tastes bloody beautiful.
We have a nacho man for the nachos. A red hot dog.
Red hot dog. So the hot dog, what would that be in there, do you think?
That's sweet.
You've got about as much meat as a normal hot dog.
Yeah, yeah. And if you give that to the hot dogs especially, if you give to anyone, they don't know the difference.
It's got a funny taste to it to me, and maybe it is psychological, I don't know why, but I, like even the taste chips, yeah, the smell and a taste, yeah.
But the chip is just potato, so...
I don't know why.
Maybe the smell of the cheese or something.
Yeah, it might be, yeah.
I couldn't try any difference in
how did you get
yeah, fine.
Maybe okay. you do want some weeds.
Some
maybe,
weeds?
Yeah, maybe
I'm not trying to be funny. I, you know, I'm trying to be as honest. Well, not as honest as I can. I'm being honest. I'm finding the taste funny for some reason.
So, Roo, you hopped into the food. Now, to be fair, we had about 10 different dishes.
I swear to God.
And you loved it.
I couldn't taste any difference
well,
to it.
And the truth is, and I'm already disrespectful, I had one mouthful of food and I was gagging. I just didn't like it at
yeah, but
all.
It was all to do with your smell.
Yeah, there was something about the smell of the food. And, Anyway, yeah, I just couldn't get on with it, but you loved it. You were funny. You were like a puppy dog. In the end, I thought you'd signed up to be a vegan. You were going to buy the T-shirts, the stubby holders.
I just totally understand what they were talking about.
And they had books to give us and everything. Anyway, in a moment, we got into a debate, didn't we, about
you did.
Vegans.
Yeah, you so we'll, did.
All right.
Stop so chugging me into the
whilst
group.
You were chewing on the grass and the seeds and the lentils and everything, I was debating what veganism's all about. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Ruined it. We had an interesting day yesterday, Roo, didn't
yep,
we?
Yeah, great day. What a good spot too, by the way. The restaurant overlooking Rundle Mall.
Two-bit villain.
Two-bit villain. Yeah, I didn't even realise you could get up to the second level in the Region Arcade.
Adelaide Arcade.
Adelaide Arcade,
yeah,
is
get
it?
Your arcades right.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Adelaide Arcade.
Shows you how much I go there.
Right. Anyway, we had our lunch, selection of vegan food. And then we got into a debate with Lee and Rebecca from the vegan organisation. They ran the festival on the weekend here in Adelaide.
Biggest festival in Australia.
And what about the stats? I don't know if it's in this grab or not, the stats they gave us. I think they got 18,000 people over the weekend. There. Bigger than what you get in New York to a vegan festival. Can you believe
that? We love it here in Adelaide.
Anyway, here, let's have a listen to our discussion.
When I was trying to write down all of the different sports people that might kind of make you think that it's becoming more and more normal, just wondered why we always have to come up with facts for you guys, as in the general population. Why do we have to give facts on why veganism is the way to go? And we do. We always ask to stand up to why we're doing it. And I really want to be back asking the questions like, why do you think it's okay to keep torturing animals, slaughtering animals, destroying our planet? But if we ask that, we're the fundamentalist, activist, extremists. But I just don't know why it's twisted.
I've lived my life thinking that there is a pecking order. You know, I look at an example the other day, someone could have got, a young girl could have got taken by a shark. I think we're smart. You know, people say, oh, that's the shark's environment. I think it's all our environment. I think it's all of ours. We all belong and we all coexist, and the king of the jungle eats those down the chain.
And because we're the king, do you think we have a responsibility to protect the environment?
That's a real complex question. There are people, I mean, talk about global warming, and I don't want to go off on great long-winded arguments here or discussions, but there are those in the world that don't believe it exists, and there are those that do believe it exists.
Do you believe it exists?
I wouldn't have a clue, seriously.
I don't
know if it's right or wrong, because I'm not smart enough, and I can only listen to those that speak for both sides. You know, I have to listen to the scientists and weigh up in my own head.
So all the scientists are saying that it does, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that animal agriculture is a leading cause, and if we are king of the jungle, we have a responsibility to look after the environment, and it's logic that then we reduce the harm that we are doing. If that's your position, that we're the king should protect its kingdom. So we can continue to be kings if that's your logic, but it doesn't make sense to think we're at the top and continue to destroy it, because we will be left with nothing.
I don't know, I think that's a bit extreme, that's all.
What part is extreme?
Everything you just said.
But I'm just using your words.
Yeah.
We're the king of the jungle.
Yeah, and like I said, look, we could discuss this forever. And I'm not being dismissive or evasive, but I'm just saying that I think from day one, people on this earth had to find something to eat, and they have, and they've continued to do so. At the moment, you're in the minority, right? And you said, why do you have to keep justifying what you do? Maybe in 20 years' time you won't have to, maybe in 40 years' time you won't have to, and it will grow, and it will grow. And everything you just said may well be absolutely 100% right. But minority groups do always start out that way, don't they? You know, you come out with something that the rest of us think is radical. We don't change overnight. So maybe you're in your infancy, and maybe when I'm 75, the whole we will have all listened and we will have all changed. Please don't take this as a personal attack.
I'm just very interested in the words that you use, but then you backtrack in. So that's what I'm trying to
get. You're smarter than I am.
Yeah.
You're far smarter than I am.
I guess my question, like going on there, this is what we've always done. We can talk about a lot of things that have changed in history, from slavery to women's rights to thinking that child abuse was okay. All of those things changed and people had to stand up and start changing it. Why do you let culture dictate over your morals? That's been the question throughout time. And it'll get to a point where you think, how did we ever let that happen? We have the ability to stop it, but we do have options, and we do have options that can stop harming ourselves, the planet, and animals.
Righto. Fair enough.
It
meeting.
Now, Roo, they do call themselves activists, but I just want to stick up for them slightly here. They're not wacky and they're not way out. They're very, very nice people.
The imagination.
And they're not that radical either. But
what they're saying does make sense, doesn't it, or not? Do you agree? Whatever. The girl that you were having an argument with or a debate with, Rebecca, I don't think anything she said was actually wrong, was it?
It's all about slaughtering animals. And she actually admitted, she said 4.5 years ago, living here in Adelaide, she was driving up Grand Junction Road and a truck full of sheep went past her. And she thought, that can't be allowed to happen. Why can you send a truckload of sheep off to just get slaughtered? And this happens every day all over the world. So that was her reasoning, and I get that. But I don't know, I come from an era where I don't want to, you know, she said change, why don't we change the way we live and change our ideas? Well, I go to the football and I come from a background of having a beer and a pie, a meat pie.
Yep.
I'm not going to go to the football all of a sudden and have water and a tofu burger, am I? And that's what she's suggesting.
They drink beer.
Yeah, but I'm using it as an example. Yeah. It's just the way we're, and like I said to her, she talked about her father, we didn't play it, but he was 75, he's changed, all right, to be a vegan. I said, well, maybe when I'm 75, as you heard, maybe when I'm 75, we will all have changed. But I doubt it. It'll take generations, and maybe they're on the right track. I don't know. But look, at the end of it, you and I learned a lot yesterday.
Got to have an open mind, I think, Dits.
And you were like a lapdog.
Well, I understood where they were coming from. I'm not going to change. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to change at all, probably. But I thought it was interesting. I didn't think they were wackos. But if we hadn't gone there, you would have probably, and I would have potted vegans every opportunity just because you can.
Yeah.
Like port people pot the crows and crows people pot port.
Mm.
But I don't think I'll pot them anymore. I just think they got their own little space and they got their own little beliefs and that's what they do.
If I can draw an analogy, the crows are the vegans in this argument as well. Right? You're the radical way out ones. All right. But it was an interesting day and I thank Rebecca and Lee for their time. And it was. It was really, really good.
And they make great soda there.
Mm.
Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Great effing soda.
Righto. There you go. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the agent.
Thanks to McGain Real Estate. A refreshing change in real estate.
McGainagain.com.au.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
Gee, that was very good because we've got a rookie in today, Roo.
Yes.
Alana. Alana is the new button pusher.
Got to refresh the list.
All right. Good morning, Alana.
Good morning.
Right. In 15 seconds, give us a bit about Alana. Where are you from? What do you do?
Right. I come to you from Wollongong. I'm here to push buttons. And my hubby's exceedingly smart, me not so much.
Right. What does your hubby do?
Dits is like that.
He's an analyst for an aerospace and defence program. He's doing a PhD as
Bullshit.
Well.
Bullshit. There's no such thing.
An analyst for an aerospace and defence program. So I'm the cool one because I work in radio and he's the smart one.
He's no rocket scientist. He actually is.
He's a rocket scientist.
Yeah. So if ever we say that, you can actually get, no, actually cool. He is. My husband is. Righto, we've got Alice the Wag and we've got Batesy who's married to the war hero or going to marry the war hero soon. When's that happening, Batesy?
Hurry up, Batesy.
No comment.
Hurry up.
No comment. Righto, first topic, Roo. What have we got?
We have got topless sunbaking. This is not my specialty, dear Wag. What's this all about?
Why is this an issue? I guess is what we're saying here.
Oh, that's right.
Girls that get their boobs out and lay on the beach, they're just boobs, aren't they? Do you do it, Alice, or not?
Yes, I do it.
Yeah. What? Is it an issue?
On the select day, I wouldn't do it on a really busy day where there's heaps of families around and stuff, but most afternoons I'll go down there and there's no one on the beach, so I'm quite happy to take off my top.
So you'd do it when there's no one around. You wouldn't do it when there's blokes walking past, surely.
You do feel a little bit uncomfortable when they do walk past.
Boobs up, not laying under the...
Yeah, boobs up.
Bulldust. You'd do it.
Yeah.
That's...
But it does really, really, really hurt when you get your nipples sunburnt.
Well, surely you put cream on
she
your nipples.
She doesn't ever put cream on. I don't really wear cream that much. But
don't get them sunburnt.
I do feel uncomfortable when it's just like a man by itself. But if there was like a family next to me or like whatever, I don't think that matters as much. They're just boobs. Everyone has them and everyone's seen them. Like you guys have nipples. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Why?
It's not different. It is very different. Girls having their boobs out. Surely.
I agree.
All right, Batesy, what do you think?
I am so off Alice that she does this. I just think it's so weird and inappropriate, like just on a Tuesday casually with your boobs out on the beach. Like I'm so off the idea. It weirds me out.
You two girls hang around a little bit. Let's say you go to some place like probably not Bali because it's crowded. Let's say some place far away on a holiday and group of young girls that you're all friends. What and you don't know anyone that's there. Would you do it then, Batesy?
not.
Still not. All right. Nah. That's good. No
but we
worries.
Also, I the main reason I do it because I have so many different tops. So like you have some.
No, we're not talking about what tops.
But
in
you
your
can't
tan
get tan
lines.
That's why
it's got nothing to do with that.
It does.
You
that's
get
why
no,
every right. woman owns different tops.
We haven't got a problem with you getting rid of your tan line. We've got a problem with you saying that it's okay to have your tits out.
I'm not saying I walk down Glenelg Beach on a busy day.
No, well that's what she's saying.
And like have them out and just flaunting them. But if I'm just lying on a quiet beach and there's like you know one or two people 100 meters away, then of course I will.
For all the listeners, she goes to Glenelg North Beach. I'm being silly. No, she doesn't. Now, Alana.
Yes. Oh, look, I'm not really okay with it either, to be honest.
No.
No, keep them in. Keep
cover
them
up.
In. Yeah. Just.
But do you have a? Do you believe though that men? I mean, we have nipples as well. So we are different, are we?
It is different.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is.
What happens in Europe though? It's you're travelled there a lot. Why are they so open to it?
This is really interesting. This is how we got discussing this yesterday off air, is that you can go to places in Germany and Sweden and families will come down to the local, it could be the tennis club or the local sauna. They will just peel off in front of each other. You walk into the change room and you'd swear you're in the wrong place. You go, oh, hang on, I've walked into the ladies. There are just nude women and blokes all over the place and their
how
kids.
How come you come home?
I lost a lot of weight. I used to have a lot of saunas. No, but you know, I was like a prune in the end. No, but they do that though. You're right. They're so to them, it's nothing, and that's why I wonder. You know, are we right? Are we wrong here?
Well, we're just not used to it, I suppose.
I just think it's unfair. Like, I don't have massive fun bags, and there'd be some guys on the beach that would have bigger boobs than me. So why does he get to have his top off and I don't?
Oh, come on.
It's a fair question.
Oh, yeah. Righto, tell us about Poe. What's she been up to, Wag?
Thanks, Ru.
So this is Poe that used to be on one of the cooking...
Poe that was on MasterChef.
MasterChef. She won MasterChef.
Yeah, the Adelaide contestant. She has broken up with her ex-husband and he has gotten together with her best friend and now they all have gone into business together to buy a cafe in Adelaide.
Wow. Say that again. So
she's
split up.
She's broken up with her husband and the husband is now dating her best friend.
Ooh.
So now they've all gone into a business together.
Yeah, but what about, and she's gone out with the one who's gone out with her husband. So they're both with each other's partners. Is that what you just said?
No. So just the best friend and the husband.
Right.
Don't think I could do that, Roo.
No.
Could you?
No, I'm out. Definitely not. Thank you.
See ya.
I want to make money in the business.
For some reason though, girls always handle these things a bit better. Alice, would it bother you?
Probably just because we're more mature.
Oh. Right. Batesy, can I talk to you then? What do you think? Some sense of this.
I think if you end it amicably and you're all friends, I think that's one thing. I think to then go into business together where you're spending hours and hours a day, like, and I can imagine it's quite stressful. I just think it's destined to fail.
Oh, Ruth, think of one of your ex-girlfriends and go to, this is very hypothetical, obviously, go to Sarah and say, we might go into business with Julie or whatever her name is. How's Sarah going to react to that?
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
No.
No, it's like Ruth and Sarah breaking up and Sarah dating Ruth's best mate and then them all going into business.
Mm. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Can't happen. Nah. Surely. Nah. Alana.
Nah.
No,
just not.
Good contribution, Alana. That was good.
I like to keep
for your
it
first
short
date.
And sweet.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you when anything to an ex-partner of yours did?
I know a couple. They live in England, so I can talk about this. Her name's Barbara. I met her through squash. Her and her husband, right? Now, they live in Brighton in England. Imagine this. So her and her husband still live together in the same bed, same house. Down the road, know this other couple. They've both swapped. So Barbara that I know is going out with this bloke from down the road and her husband's going out with the wife from down the road.
Kept the same houses, but just swapped.
But kept the same houses. So they haven't actually, both couples
both happy.
Totally swapped. They have dinner together. Not every night. They go out. This is how I met them and knew what was going on. We all went out for dinner on several occasions.
Well, they do everything together.
They do a lot of things together, yet still remain in their same original houses with the original.
Come on.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
It is. I've never seen anything like that.
Did they cheat?
Yes.
So they cheated, but both of them did it at the same time.
Yep.
So it was okay.
Not on the same night.
No,
first
I don't know.
Time.
I don't know those ins and outs. But that is the weirdest relationship I've seen.
Yeah, that's
wow.
out there.
That's really
talk
really
about moving on.
Yeah,
it's a bit too strange.
A little bit strange,
yeah,
isn't it?
A little bit too strange.
Yeah.
Too close.
Okay. Yeah, but but just my final thing again, Alice. You girls are pretty good at catching up with ex boyfriends and ex whatever. You just
this
no, you
is
do
a
though.
Bugbear of yours,
no, but women do. I find it strange. I really do.
Is it all women, or is it just the ones that you've been? dealt with.
Maybe the ones I know.
To be honest, the only reason I'll catch up with my ex-boyfriend is to flaunt about my life now and be like, I'm totally fine without you.
Mm. Oh, I rub his face.
Yeah, that's the only reason I think girls do it, just to make out they're better.
Thanks, angels.
Thanks.
The angels join us. All thanks to McGain Real Estate, mcgainagain.com.au. I'm rocking the
suburbs. Triple M Suburban Songs. Friday night, I'm highly off my mind. With Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets.
Oh, indeed. Gleeso's here, being a Thursday morning. How are you, Gleeso?
I'm very well. I copped it for the Norwood girl last
Did
week.
Did you?
Oh,
what'd they do to you down there?
They think I'm a bit soft now. Everyone thinks I'm a bit soft, so I've had to rock it up this week.
Okay. Where are you going to head to this week?
Main South Road. Oh. What a nightmare.
What a nightmare,
it is
right?
An absolute nightmare. And every time they try and improve it, it makes it worse.
At
least it goes both ways now.
Yeah, exactly.
When they tried to fix the Britannia roundabout, they put bloody two roundabouts.
Two will make it less confusing. Exactly. Easy. So we're talking about how slow the traffic moves, trucks taking up the whole road, big trucks. I'm scared of mother truckers out there.
A car breaks down. It's bedlam, isn't it?
Yeah. New road, South Road, overpass. Well, she's almost
that's
come down.
That's trouble.
As you drive under it, you look up there, you go, that can't last long.
You go quick because, I mean, this could fall at any stage.
When you're queued up underneath there, then you're really crapping yourself.
It's like playing chicken.
And obviously the road work's never seen to end. So we thought we'd do Main South Road to the tune of Copperhead Road.
Of course. Beautiful. All right, let's have a listen.
Well, it starts near the dump up Wingfield Way. You want to get to the end, it could take all day. You hardly ever saw any bikes down here. If you don't get run over, it'd be a good year. Well, the traffic round here moves slow as a snail. With backed up trucks that are big as a wheel. When the missus said to me, do you want to go down south? Said not in my car, but I will with my mouth. When my car broke down and I had to get towed, swore I'd never come back to Main South Road. Well, London Bridge ain't near this town, but South Road overpass is falling down. If South Road was a girl, well, she'd have no friends. Cause those roadworks, they never seem to end. Well, the Department of Transport and Infrastructure, I'm sorry, South Road, but they really f***ed up. If you want chaos on your daily commute, or you want a big dent in your brand new you, if you want to see a truck that's lost its load, then come join the party down Main South Road.
Very good. Like that one.
Threw a bit of sexual innuendo in there.
Yeah. Wow. Got left bombs.
Double entendre.
Fantastic.
Check out the video now at the Triple M Facebook page. And if you sign up to be a Triple M club member, you can actually get online and have a look at all of these songs before anyone else gets to hear them.
That's a good head start.
Well done, Gleeso.
No worries, boys.
See you next week.
See you next week.
104.7 Triple M.
Through the terrorist attack in New York, we've learnt a bit more about the fella over the last 24 hours. Channel 7's US correspondent is in New York, Amelia Brace. Amelia, what have you learnt about this fella, as I said, over the last 24 hours? Something about the green card situation.
Yeah, that's right, guys. Overnight, the FBI have raided this man's New Jersey home that he shared with his wife and children. And based on that, they've come to a number of conclusions. Firstly, they do believe that he planned this attack for a number of weeks. They've also looked at the toll records for his personal vehicle, which suggests that he travelled to this area a number of times in the days leading up to the attack. And they think he may have been doing so-called dry runs, where you go through what you're intending to do as part of a terrorist attack to really knuckle down on the planning. In terms of his immigration status, it is believed that he came in on the so-called visa lottery system, which is a system that the US has over here basically to enable anyone to potentially come and live in the United States. That's something that Donald Trump slammed this morning. He wants that changed to a merit-based system, but critics of the president's say that this 29-year-old was vetted before he came into the country, and authorities are adamant that he was radicalised here. He was domestically radicalised, so potentially not an issue with the lottery system at all.
How many people get through on the lottery system a year?
It's different every year. There is a quota, and there's also a different numbers in terms of different countries. A number of Australians, in fact, come in on the green card lottery, so it's not something that's specific to any sort of country.
Yep.
It's something that has been in place since the mid-90s, and it was really a bipartisan approach to immigration. Donald Trump this morning is really slamming the Democrats for it, but it was actually George W. Bush that eventually signed off on the lottery. There is going to be a lot of spotlight on it now in the wake of this attack, given that that is how this man came into the country. But also Donald Trump's been criticised for suggesting a change to legislation just the day after this incident. He's been accused of politicising the incident, given that the day after the Vegas attack, which was exactly a month ago, he said it was too soon to talk about any sort of change of legislation when it comes to gun control.
Yep.
So the political debate's already started over here.
Did this bloke have a criminal record at all?
He did not, and the FBI and the NYPD have confirmed that they were not investigating him, but they were investigating a number of his associates. So it is believed that in the least he was associating with persons of interest. But as for the man himself, he had come to the attention of authorities three times in the past, but no record and no active investigation.
Amelia, thanks so much for joining us. Amelia Brace, Channel 7's US correspondent. Roo, a lottery system, I'm sure... I'm led to believe the numbers are something like 1 in 100,000, that your name gets plucked out and you can then get a green card to work in the United States.
Wow.
I think they're the numbers.
Sure.
But whether or not they are...
There's a few people trying to get in there, isn't
there? There are lots. But surely it has to be a system where you get in on merit, I would have thought, which is what we do here in our country.
Well, they said they were vetted, so they're obviously looking for your background, but I guess depends on what they mean by merit. But if you've got no criminal record and he's done nothing wrong, it's going to be hard to catch him.
All right, but this goes back to your favourite statement. He was known to police, or she
was
known
to police.
But didn't Amelia just say then that he'd been looked at three times for different things?
I thought, she said definitely the friends were known, but it's a... Sounds like a tricky one.
We've got to get tougher. I don't know how. We're all geniuses after the fact, but we have to get tougher with these sorts of things.
Yep.
Yeah. Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Ruin Dits for breakfast. Drew, one of our favourite events is about to kick off, what, in a week or two?
Yeah, the 2017 Mighty River Run will take place from the 12th to the 17th of November this year. So we're looking forward to that. It'll start down in Goor and then it'll head down to Talem Bend, which is a great part of the river to go through. So we're looking forward to that getting underway.
They'll eventually finish at Morgan. So they're
finishing at Morgan.
Yeah, day one's Talem Bend.
Is that old?
Yeah.
God, that's they're covering a bit of ground that day.
Yeah, now they do this for a great reason. It's all about fun, and we take the mickey and we ring them most days that they're out there on the boats, and they're having a lot of fun, but they're doing it for a special reason.
Yeah.
And it's all about Novita, and they raise funds. And we're about to meet a family, a couple, who have been involved with Novita for a while, and we'll get them to tell their story. It's Tim and Teresa, and we've got Tim on the line. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going, fellas?
Good. Tim, what does Novita mean to you and your family? How do they help you?
I guess for us, we've been in Adelaide for about 12 years now, and since the diagnosis of Chloe and her attached cerebral palsy, we've really been with Novita for 12 years. So we're very lucky to get in touch with them when we first arrived. They've helped Chloe through those years, which is probably the best part of her life, with paediatricians, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, speeches, and some psychology support as well. So, they've been there for that period.
So how old's Chloe now?
Coming on 16.
Okay, so 13 years of support. I mean, how much money do you think that would have added up to over that time?
I couldn't put a value on it. I think you could probably work out dollars per hour, but... you can't measure the benefit that Chloe and us as well get from the support that she's received. And when we see, you know, how she's progressed over that time, I don't think you can put a value on it. So it's a bit of a tricky question, that one.
Yeah, it is. No, I totally understand.
Tim, I presume as well it's helpful to meet other families and other people that are in the same situation as you. Has it helped for you through Novita to infiltrate with these people?
We probably haven't established a big network there. I think the network's been established through the physios and the OTs and the support we get through Novita. But when we attend their office, quite often their group activities, but we also get to attend, you know, some additional activities that might be a cooking class or a camp or that type of activity, which is coordinated by Novita. So certainly we have met people through that as well.
Tim, thanks so much for talking to us this morning. Good luck moving forward with Chloe and with your wife, Teresa, as well. Roo, just some of the projects that the money, there's new Novita offices coming along,
yep.
Additional workshops and activities for these kids. You're talking about equipment, things like a gym and sports equipment and all types, you know, communication equipment for these kids as well. So please support the 2017 Mighty River Run. It's the 12th to the 17th of November and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of fun. I've been on it myself for a week. A great thing to do, and I'm led to believe there's a couple of new entrants this year, Dits.
Who?
The German brothers.
Get out.
Andrew and Darren German are going. This will be a lot of fun. If you've got those
that'd
two
need
boys,
an ocean liner. That'd sink a boat.
Oh, absolutely fun. I can just see Darren German. He will have a smile on his face for the whole time. Five or six days on the river with an esky with a couple of cold cans in it.
Yep.
That you just wouldn't be, he couldn't be more at home. So good luck to everyone who's going on it, to have Darren and Andrew Jarman on it. It's a great event. We know Russell Ebert, who does an enormous amount of work for Novita. So it is a great week. Congratulations to everyone's involved.
Novita's Mighty River Run.
Get Ruined Dits for breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.